You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Colton Molesky. As always, bringing you daily Wolves content that can be found on zonecoverage.com as well as on iTunes. Make sure you check out the zonecoverage.com website. Once you're done listening to this podcast, tons of great written work as well as other fantastic podcasts on that site. Lucas is joining me. He is calling in from New Orleans. Usually he calls in or is writing about injuries. Today we have him calling in to break down the Houston Rockets for us. First of all, Lucas, we're all jealous of you because you missed the massive snowstorm. It sounds like you might be flying back for another one, but you missed at least one snowstorm down there in the nice balmy weather of New Orleans.
Yeah, I can't complain. It's been sunny and 80 and humid the whole time I've been down here, so I'm trying to absorb as much as I can before I head back to another snowpocalypse.
Well, we're busy here at the Zone Coverage headquarters, and you're busy there at your conference. So I'm just gonna jump right into it. Basketball is back. I'm so happy that basketball is back. I was watching every drop last night. Great, fantastic basketball yesterday. And now we're going to jump right back into the Timberwolves season after the All-Star break with a game on the road against the Rockets. First of all, just as somebody who covers the Timberwolves regularly, this is a tough assignment. How nervous are you for the Timberwolves to come out really flat-footed after the All-Star break against a really good Rockets team?
Right. That's always the worry about that, right? You know, coming off an extended break, you know, in theory, they should have fresh legs, you know, fresh minds too. Mm-hmm. But to have the first opponent that you come back after that long break be the Houston Rockets, I mean, that's a tough ask. It'd be a tough ask for anybody, except for, you know, maybe the Golden State Warriors or someone like that. But yeah, I would say the biggest concern, you know, is that not only do, you know, are the Timberwolves coming off this extended break, but also they don't match up the greatest with the Houston Rockets, I would say.
This is definitely their worst nightmare as far as opponents.
Right. So, you know, the combination of those two things has me a little leery of how the game's going to go.
No, yeah, and you bring up the main point of this game is that the Timberwolves not only are not great shooting the three ball, but also not really great defending it. They let up about 36%, depending on where you're looking from, that 23 to the 29-foot range outside the three-point line. Not exactly great. And then on the flip side, they don't have a ton of guys that are really pushing to shoot threes. So if you saw last time they played the Rockets at home in the fourth quarter, the Rockets started knocking out 3-point shots, and there really wasn't anybody on the Timberwolves who could pace them as far as 3-point shooting and keep with the Rockets. If you're looking at this roster and you're looking at the Timberwolves and what they have as far as pieces, who do you need to see really stand out and really kind of shoot outside their comfort zone so far this season and put up some more 3-point shots? Because it can't just be Jamal Crawford jacking up 3-point shots. They need somebody else to step up in that category.
Right. Yeah. And if you look at the Wolves offense for the course of the year, and you know, depending on what site you look at, you know, they're always kind of in that 3 to 5 in terms of offensive rating. So they're top 5 by most accounts offense in the NBA, and a lot of that comes because, you know, like you said, you know, even though the 3-point deficiencies have been, you know, they've been around forever, let's be honest, but what the Wolves are so good at is getting to the free throw line. You know, if they can get to the free throw line and get those free throws up, you know, in a sense that kind of offsets their lack of 3-point shooting to an extent, you know. But mm-hmm. the trouble with that is, you know, once you kind of get later on in the games, you know, in clutch situations at the end of the half, at the end of the fourth quarter, towards the end of games, and definitely, you know, I have a feeling this is going to rise in the playoffs, those calls that normally happen, you know, earlier on in the game where, you know, you get the and one opportunity, stuff like that. They just don't get called at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. So like you said, the last game, the Rockets kind of started putting up more threes, started making more threes, and then the lead got extended because the Wolves weren't able to get their threes in the quote unquote conventional way. So, you know, when that starts happening, that's when you'd like to see, you know, maybe the Wolves 3-point rate increase. And obviously with that, you'd like to see their 3-point makes increase as well. So, you know, I don't have the specific numbers in front of me at the moment, but Andrew Wiggins he leads the team in 3-point attempts per game, if I'm remembering correctly, but his 3-point percentage isn't all that great. So I think the key to, you know, being able to stick with the Warriors, stick with the Rockets, especially, you know, towards the end of games where they start, you know, chucking up threes and they start making them and they kind of start pulling away, you really need the likes of like Andrew Wiggins, Karl Anthony Towns, you know, maybe like a Tyus Jones, maybe like a Jimmy Butler, you know. Really, I guess the answer is I wouldn't say one specific player needs to shoot more threes and needs to make more threes. I think it's just like an individual or a team recognition of, hey, we're not getting the calls that we're getting, that we were getting earlier on in the game. So instead of trying to knock down the door with, you know, a stronger battering ram or whatever, trying to get to the free throw line, you know, maybe that's when they start increasing their 3-point attempts. And, you know, with a team like the Rockets, you just kind of got to hope that they go in. You know, no one on the team is like a great 3-point shooter, you know, Karl Anthony Towns being the exception. He's shooting over 40% on the year, but you have to at least put yourself in the position for them to go in. And the only way to put yourself in a position for a 3-pointer to go in is to take a 3-point shot. So I think towards the, you know, when the Rockets start pulling away or when they start kind of heating up, it's just got to be a team-wide, system-wide, you know, effort to just simply shoot more threes. Because in the long run, the math bears out. Three is so much more than two that even if you're shooting at a 30% clip or a 33% clip of 3-point shots, that'd be like shooting 2-point shot at a 50% clip. So, you know, it just kind of comes down to math that the only way that I think the Wolves would be able to keep up with the Rockets is, you know, to not play like the Rockets for the entire game, but for, you know, maybe at the end of quarters or in those quote unquote clutch situations where they're not getting as many foul calls.
No, yeah. And just to go back to your point about Andrew Wiggins, 3-point attempts, he is leading the team with 4.2 3-point attempts per game. Nobody else has topped four. The next highest would be Jamal Crawford at 3.7. So there's not even that. There's a bunch of guys who just aren't shooting well from 3-point range, although there's not a ton of guys right now that are, but they're not exactly giving themselves a lot of chances to get better from range either. You have Karl Anthony Towns, like you mentioned, 42.1% shooting from 3-point range, but none of these guys are really pushing themselves to shoot a ton from range. I think the X factor here too, maybe Jeff Teague, just because, you know, once he heats up, if you can tell that he's starting to feel himself a little bit in that first quarter, I think he's one of those guys that could be a real big difference. That doesn't leap off the page just box score wise. When you're looking at guys who you really need to show up, I think your mind goes to Andrew Wiggins and him jumping out of the slump that he's been in through January and February. But if Jeff Teague can really start feeling himself like he was at the beginning of the last time they played the Rockets, where he had a solid outing, and he can continue that play throughout the rest of the game, that would be huge as well, because you know Jimmy Butler's going to get his. You know if he gets enough shots, Towns is probably going to get his as well, probably going to get the 20 and 10 that we're used to seeing from him. And so Jeff Teague, if he can slide into that third spot there and really start knocking down some shots from range, I think he's kind of the X factor.
Totally. And, you know, a lot of the kind of in the same vein, a lot of the talk around the trade deadline or in the this past offseason, or, you know, now that we're in buyout season and players signing teams, and, you know, the Wolves still have that open roster spot and potentially could have two open roster spots depending on what they do with Shabazz Muhammad. But the talk is always, you know, we know the Wolves don't shoot threes. We know the Wolves that do shoot threes don't make them very often. So a common narrative is, you know, the Wolves need to go out and sign a 3-point shooter or somebody who can shoot threes or somebody who has a high volume of three-point shots in their career. But I don't know, you know, and I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I also don't think that's the main issue. I think the main issue is that it has to do with the system. You know, the only person that can really affect how many threes the Wolves take, and then in proxy, how many threes the Wolves make, is Tom Thibodeau, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, the Wolves could bring on Ray.
I agree with that.
Could bring on Ray Allen, but it, you know, if the system isn't set up to emphasize 3-point shots, it doesn't really matter.
No, yeah.
So I think that the Wolves' overall 3-point issue is more of a Tom Thibodeau issue than a player's issue.
Yeah, and you look at just where they rank as far as attempted. So the percentage of their field goals that are 3-pointers. That they're attempting, they are second to last in the NBA. 25.9% of the shots they're attempting are 3-point shots. That's only better than the New York Knicks. And then you look at the percentage of their points that are attributed to the 3-pointers. 21.6% of their points, again, second to only the New York Knicks for worst in the NBA. Only 21.6% of it's worse than the New York Knicks. 21.6% of their points come from 3-pointers. Just really tough numbers when you're looking at playing the Rockets, who are first in both of those categories with 50% of their attempted field goal shots that are 3-pointers, and 41.2% of their points are coming from the 3-shot. So this is exactly the worst team for the Timberwolves to be facing off against. I was talking with some guys last night after we recorded the Double or Nothing podcast for ZoneCoverage.com. I was talking with Dane Moore and Tim Fakeless, actually, about this. Do you think that there is a lineup, and I don't even know if we see this because it's getting late in the season and Oklahoma City is playing so well right now that I don't think you want to mess with the lineups too much, and I don't think you want to get cute and play around with lineups when we're kind of getting into the home stretch of the season and they have a real shot at the third seed still. But do you think it would have been smart earlier to try and play Andrew Wiggins more with the second team and kind of have him as a guy who is – he's kind of one of those flex starters who he still starts. You don't bench him by any means, but you're playing more of his minutes with the second team players. Do you think that frees him up to score more, or do you think that these slumps were going to come no matter who Andrew Wiggins was playing with?
Yeah, that's a $64,000 question, right? You know. As of, you know, for the majority of the year, Karl Anthony Towns has always been the first player to, you know, leave the starting unit and then by proxy be the first player to come back in. So he kind of gets the majority of those minutes with that second unit. You know, I guess it's really kind of a chicken or the egg question is, you know, are Andrew Wiggins' struggles caused by not playing with the bench, or, you know, are they caused by getting more minutes with the starters, if that makes sense? You know, it's kind of one and the same. Is it just a struggle that's, you know, sometimes player can struggle and it can just be totally random? And that's, I guess that's kind of on Thibodeau and company to kind of figure out what's going on there. But, you know, I think getting Wiggins more opportunities with the second unit might not be a bad idea, especially being able to play next to Tyus Jones more. I think that would kind of be one of the biggest advantages. You know, Jeff Teague, you know, for all his, you know, I think he's been discussed quite a bit by the Wolves fan community throughout the season, but his style of play is really similar to that of Wiggins and to that of Butler, where it's, you know, dribble, 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 try and, you know, isolate, get to the hoop kind of action, whereas Tyus Jones is more of the distributor point guard, the, you know, gets you the ball in the right spot at the right time, you know, at the right place, that kind of deal. He seems to be, you know, it's all subjective. We don't have any objective data for this, but I feel like Tyus Jones is better at getting the ball to the player in their shooting pocket. So it's more of a fluid catch and shoot, more so than catch, you know, realign yourself then shoot. Mm-hmm. And Wiggins is he's best when he's moving with a flow to him, you know, when he can kind of catch and gather and shoot all in the same motion. You know, that's why traditionally his catch and shoot numbers are great. Whereas his, you know, off the dribble numbers are, you know, pretty terrible. And that's the enigma that is Wiggins. You know, if you look at his cutting numbers and if you look at his catch and shoot numbers, normally they're phenomenal. Like they're top 10 level of just like being able to be, you know, score efficiently, being able to score effectively, all that stuff. But if you look at how Wiggins plays, he likes to play off the dribble. He likes to isolate. He likes to go, you know, one-on-one. And he just isn't effective playing that way. So, you know, is that Wiggins being stubborn, or is that Thibodeau and the coaching staff pushing Wiggins to play like that? You know, without having any insider information, you know, not being able to see practices, it's tough to say. But I think if Wiggins, you know, potentially played more bench minutes or minutes with the bench, he'd be able to play alongside Tyus Jones more often. You know, and even a player like, you know, like Nemanja Bjelica, who's pretty, you know, pretty good passer for a big man. Like, I feel like those types of players would be able to get Wiggins into better position to, you know, be in those catch and shoot situations, being those cutting situations. And if, you know, by extension of saying Wiggins, you're going to play more with the bench, but also we'll give you more opportunities to, you know, isolate, go one-on-one. If that needs to be done, I guess that needs to be done. You know, I'm not sure what Dane said. I'm not sure what Tim said, but I think it would maybe be smart.
Well, and just if I'm applying this just to tonight, and again, I'm not saying Wiggins should be benched. I'm not saying that. But if you start Wiggins like you usually do, and then in the second quarter when you have that second unit coming on, if you leave Wiggins out there for 6-8 minutes with the second unit and just funk around with his minutes a little bit and get him a couple minutes of rest in the first quarter and play him longer in that second quarter, or maybe play him longer with that second unit in the third quarter, and you give him 8 minutes with guys like Tyus Jones and Jamal Crawford, now you have really good floor spacing with Jamal Crawford and Andrew Wiggins out there, because those are your 1 and 2 guys as far as three-point attempts on the team per game, and you have Tyus Jones, whose focus is mainly on distributing, not scoring. Now and then on the defensive side, the guy you have to worry about most is Eric Gordon for as far as Andrew Wiggins is concerned. Now he can kind of, I just feel like maybe he can try and play a little looser. And again, maybe it's just him being a guy who doesn't try every single night as hard as he should or as hard as he's able, and these slumps are kind of in between his ears, and there's no fixing that no matter who he's playing with. But it seems like if you think that he just needs an extra push or needs to knock down a couple shots to really get the juices flowing for him to finish a game strong, maybe he's just playing with the second unit for 8 minutes in the second quarter, and all of a sudden he's knocking down some threes and he's got his confidence and he's really feeling it and he's all set for the second half with the starters. I don't know. It's something to think about. But again, with the player, the teams that they play in this last 21-game stretch and how many playoff teams they are up against, and the schedule they have for the last 21 games, it might be already too late to mess around with the lineup.
Yeah, unfortunately, that might be true. I think the long and short of what we just said was flip Cat and Wiggins minutes, or like their rotations. Yeah. I think, you know, it might, and like you said, I think it would be something to try, but it's, you know, probably late in the season. And if Thibodeau was open to trying some of those things, I think we probably would have already seen it.
Yeah. No, yeah. We're going to take a quick break for sponsors, and then we're going to get to some game time predictions. So on the road for the Houston Rockets, Timberwolves are going to be taking on the Rockets tonight on the road in Houston. Give me some predictions. Who do you think is going to have a big game for the Timberwolves or for the Rockets? What do you see in the score kind of come down to? What do you see for tonight's game, Lucas?
Well, I'm going to, you know, I could sit here and say, oh, Chris Paul and James Harden are going to be amazing, but that'd be pretty easy. So I think what I'm going to say, I think the big men are gonna have big games. I think Clint Capella is gonna go, you know, he's put up some games this year where, you know, 20 and 20, stuff like that. I think he put up like 23 and 25 one game or something like that, which is just insane. Because like Kevin Love type numbers back when he was in Minnesota. But I think I could see, oh, let's say Cat goes for 31 points and 11 rebounds and
like
2 assists, and Clint Capella goes for 18 points, 22 rebounds and like 2 blocks. I think, you know, Karl-Anthony Towns, he really, you know, for, you know, he's really, he's improved on defense this year, no doubt. Especially, you know, kind of this second half of the season. But he always seems to struggle with big men that are either physical, like a Steven Adams, or, you know, with unique skill sets. And Clint Capella has the unique skill set in that he's really good at catching lobs. He's, you know, he's really pretty good in the pick and roll. You know, he's really almost,
he's great with that pick and roll at the top of the key too, with like a Harden or Chris Paul.
Yeah, he's the perfect big man to play next to Chris Paul and James Harden. It's just, you know, he's basically, you know, for a while there, the Rockets were rumored in being interested in DeAndre Jordan. Well, Clint Capella is essentially DeAndre Jordan. So, you know, I think in that sense, you know, and Cat struggled against DeAndre Jordan this year. So I think, you know, we could see the big men go off in this game.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I like that pick a lot. Clint Capella is so fast, too, that it's just really hard to defend him throughout the entire game. You might be able to get him early, but when he's setting a screen and then just running, sprinting to the basket from the top of the three-point line, it's really hard to do that from the first quarter to the fourth quarter. And Clint Capella is really good at it, so that's going to be a tough assignment. I like Eric Gordon in this one. I think that he's going to come off the bench and really, really kind of show up for this game. I think he's going to knock down a bunch of triples. I think he's going to end up with 28 to 31 points in this one. I think that James Harden and Chris Paul are gonna see the marathon that the rest of the season is, and they're gonna have solid games, but they're not gonna come out blazing just because they know that they've gotta really pace themselves because they really want to hold on. I think they really want to hold on to that one seed. I think it's important for them to be the number one seed over Golden State and try and have some home court advantage in the playoffs. I think they'll see that as really important. So James Harden and Chris Paul, if they're ahead early in this one, I think they're gonna try and pace themselves, and Eric Gordon is the one who's gonna really try and eat against the Timberwolves and the weak perimeter defense that they have, and he's going to end up with like 31 points. And I see the Rockets winning this one. I think it's going to be a bit of a distance win again for them. I think it's going to be about, I want to say 118 to 102.
I was going to say, I'm kind of feeling the same thing. You know, I could see the Wolves putting up, you know, 106, 107, 108 points and not even it really being that close. I'll say... you know, I never like to bet on a team scoring like 120 points, but I think it's definitely feasible tonight. So I'll say 120, 108 in favor of the Rockets.
All right. I like it. That's it for us. Make sure to check out some great written content on the Timberwolves to get you prepped for tonight as well on the zonecoverage.com website. Lucas, thanks for calling in from your conference. Really appreciate the dedication.
Yeah, absolutely. No problem. Glad to be on.
And thank you to the listener for tuning in to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.